John chapter 14. John chapter 14. John chapter 14, starting verse 7. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, I have been with you so long, Philip, and you have not come to know me? He who has seen me has seen my Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his will, does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for this day. We thank you we gather here today to meet around your table and remember what you've done for us. Father, we thank you for the plan you have. Thank you that we can see your character, Father. We know your character. We know your love for us. And because of that, Father, we can develop the same character and the same love for one another and guide us in that, Father. We thank you again for Jesus in his name. Amen. So a couple of questions that usually are brought up or talked about, or even some statements that are made when people go over this passage is that, you know, might be like, how stupid can the disciples continue to be? Or then they might follow up with a statement, you know, we're not really a lot better than the disciples were, because, you know, Jesus kept preaching and teaching to them and they kept having lack of faith and didn't believe in him, and it was going over their heads and all that stuff, and they weren't getting it. And then, so we're the same way. And then it's brought out that way. Maybe it's lack of understanding at the very least, or an excuse at the worst to just continue to not grow, have understanding, or to continue to live in sin in other ways. But I think we miss an important meaning of the passage if we continue to focus on the, well, how bad we are type attitude, or how they were, how we are, we're the same way. You know, we're continually missing what Jesus is trying to say and communicate to us. In the Greek, in verse 7, how it's translated is, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him. Now, in the context, that seems a little out of place, because Philip asked a question in verse 8, and then Jesus almost says the same thing that he's saying in verse 7 and verse 9 and 10. But in the Greek, in verse 7, the words had and would have aren't there. So what it actually is saying is, if you know me, you know my Father also. That's in the Greek, that seems to me what for as little of Greek scholar as I am, but that's what it seems in some of the tools I've looked at, that's what it's saying, that those words had and have or would have are not there. They're just lumped in together with the word known, because the word for known is the same word used in the second half of the verse, when he says, from now on, you know him. It's the same word used when it says that the first part of the verse in verse 7, if you had known him. That word had is attached to the word known to almost make it presentable, where Jesus is almost like, man, if you had known me, you would have already known my Father, and kind of already in the putting them down, but it's already like they're idiots already and they haven't got the stuff. And if you really had known me, you'd known the Father. From now on, you've known the Father, and you know me, you know the Father. And I know that the question that Philip asked in verse 8 is brought about and brings up that statement from Jesus, and he says, you know, have you known me so long and you haven't come to know me, Philip? Like he does bring that out, but in verse 7, and I think the focus can be taken and start off there and taken wrong, where we are focusing on the apostles or the disciples misunderstanding and how bad they are, even though they've been with Jesus. But we don't actually look at the question of why they misunderstood, and we'll probably get into this more as we go on throughout chapter 14 as well, even into next week some. So we won't be talking all of why they didn't know some of this stuff then. But there is some things we can kind of understand and kind of grasp of why didn't they know? Why didn't they understand some of it? And by doing that, we got to go. First, we're going to read verse 8. So Philip asked the question, Lord, show us the Father and it is enough for us. Okay, so then Jesus will ask the question and we'll get to that in a minute. But yes, the disciples did have plenty to work on. And yes, they didn't understand everything. Yes, they didn't maybe comprehend what he was saying here. And then that, obviously, he says the statement that he has, or that Jesus said after he answers it in a way and kind of frustrated with him that he didn't understand what he was saying, because he should have understood at least some of the things that he was saying, even though he wouldn't have been able to have a full comprehension of everything Jesus taught. And Jesus even says that later in the chapter, without the help of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus talks about the Spirit coming later, and we'll get to that obviously another time. But let's go back to the first chapter of John, John chapter 1. So again, the question is, why didn't the apostles or even the other disciples understand what Jesus was saying? And we can put it to more things than just what we're going to talk about today. As I mentioned, the Holy Spirit wasn't given yet. But that was another thing another hard thing that they had to get over. They didn't understand everything. But there's also some things that they had that they could have overcame even at the time that Jesus was talking with them. But in verse 14 of John chapter 1, John writes here, he says, for the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. So John, obviously writing this after Jesus had ascended and resurrected and ascended, but he is referencing, he's saying, we saw his glory. We saw the glory as from the only begotten from the Father. And so what is the glory that he saw? What is the glory that he saw? Turn to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. We'll start in verse 14. Luke chapter 4, verse 14. And it says, and Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and the news about him spread through all the surrounding district. And he began teaching in their synagogues and was praised by all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom, he entered in the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read. And the book of Isaiah the prophet was handed to him, and he opened the book and found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to proclaim release to the captives, and recovery of the sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. So Jesus read a prophecy about him, But there was a there was prophecy, and this isn't the only prophecy in the Old Testament about Jesus or about the Messiah, but it was prophecy about the Spirit of the Lord being upon him. And his message would be a blessing to the lowly, or those who are oppressed, or those who are enslaved, be a blessing. And if you recall, you know, a couple chapters earlier, or actually one chapter earlier, when Jesus was immersed in this same area, and I'm not saying everybody who was here saw that, but when he read this, or when he was immersed, the Spirit of the Lord descended upon him, and God says, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." Now, I'm not saying everybody who he read this scripture to saw that, but there was people that saw that happen and witnessed that happen when Jesus was immersed. Because when Jesus came to John, it says there were many people coming to John to get immersed, and Jesus also came to him to get immersed. So people were around hearing that. So when they see this here, and we're going to tie into this a little bit more as we go on, but they see this happen, and they know that the scripture says, the scripture that they had at the time, which was the Old Testament, talks about this, the Spirit of the Lord upon this person, this proclaiming this gospel or this good news that's going to release the captives, that, you know, sight to the blind, set the oppressed free. And Jesus says, this is fulfilled in your hearing. And then he goes and continues his ministry, which we're going to talk a little bit more about. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, verse 2, says, Now when John, while imprisoned, heard of the works of Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the expected one, or shall we look for someone else?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who does not take offense at me." So when John asked Jesus if he was the expected one, Jesus quotes scripture that was prophesying about him, and prophesying about the one who is to come, who the Spirit of the Lord was going to be upon, the one who is going to preach this message, and says, this has happened. And he gives his works as evidence of him being the expected one. Now, when we see that, in tying this in together as we will with John, and when he says that, well, if you see me, you've seen the Father. See, we're seeing the character of the Father coming out in the works of Christ when he was on earth. If you turn a chapter ahead in Matthew chapter 12, you see that after Jesus, it's questioned whether he should, you know, eat grain on the Sabbath, or if he should even heal on the Sabbath, is where people have often a little bit later after, and in Matthew chapter 12, verse 9, can you even heal on the Sabbath? And in verse 7, Jesus says, "But if you had known what it means, I desire compassion and not sacrifice, you would have not condemned the innocent." So all these things that the sacrifice or the letter that the Pharisees were pushing was missing the point of what God was trying to do, because God desires compassion over sacrifice. Because you can have sacrifice and not have compassion, but you can't really have compassion and not have sacrifice. Okay, so the more important thing will bring about the other thing later. But if you go onto the flesh or the physical and only look at the letter, you lack the heart or the spiritual importance of it. And so you're seeing through some of these things when Jesus is preaching to the poor, and we haven't went through all the stuff. We didn't go through all of the healings and the things that he did for the people, But you go through that and you see that, that Jesus had compassion, and that compassion was bringing out what the Father had. He desires compassion versus sacrifice. And so when John is saying, we saw him, we beheld his glory, glory as the only begotten from the Father, he is representation of the character of God when he is doing his work and healing the lame or the deaf to speak, deaf to hear, and the mute to speak, and the blind to see. He is carrying out the compassion and the love that the Father has through those physical things, yes. But he is proclaiming and bringing forth the message of what from above, of the Father sending him to proclaim his love and compassion for the people. Turn to 1 John chapter 4. Verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born from God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this the love of God was manifested in us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected. By this we know that God that we abide in him and that he is in us, because he has given us his Spirit. We have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Now, we're not going to probably cover everything in this passage that we looked at or that we read here, but we see some things that John is describing there of love and the love that comes from God, and that we love because God loved us first. It says a little bit later, but he says that nobody has seen God any time. And we're talking about Jesus saying you both know him and see him, have seen him. He is talking about the character that he has been proclaiming to them, that they both know the Father and have seen the Father because they have seen Jesus. Nobody has seen the Father at any time in the Spirit, because they would die. That's why Moses had to be covered by God's hand when he passed through, and he couldn't see him or else he'd die. He'd get to see his glory passing by. And John says here that because he loved us, we love one another. Because he had compassion on us by sending his Son to die for us and to do those things. And obviously when Jesus is saying this in John chapter 14, it's prior to his death, but he is doing the things that the Messiah was to do, is to heal the blind, the lame to be healed, to the deaf to hear, the mute to speak, the oppressed to receive freedom. And he was doing those things and helping those things and having compassion on the people and proclaiming the character of the Father while he was on earth. Turn back to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2, verse 5. Now this is where Jesus, this paralytic, they open up the roof and they let him down through. But we'll pick it up in verse 5. Mark chapter 2, verse 5, it says, "And Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the paralytic, 'Son, your sins are forgiven.' But some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why does this man speak this way? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Immediately, Jesus, aware in his spirit that they were reasoning that way within themselves, said to them, Why are you reasoning about these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, Your sins are forgiven, or to say, Get up and pick up your pallet and walk? But so that you know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, get up, pick up your pallet, and go home. And he got up immediately and picked up his pallet and went out in the sight of everyone, so that they were all amazed and were glorifying God, saying, We have never seen anything like this. So the works that Jesus did, in this case, when he's healing the paralytic here, when he heals them, the works that he did was to prove that he has a deeper spiritual meaning, or healing and meaning, but deeper spiritual healing. Because he says, your sins are forgiven. But to prove that, because no one could prove just by saying, it doesn't prove just by saying, well, your sins are forgiven, that someone's sins are forgiven. But to prove that he had authority to do that, he healed him physically. The works that he did, and we're going to touch on this next week probably as well, but the works that he did showed the character that he was showing, he was proclaiming, showed the character that he had. He didn't do the works because his character was evil. He did the works because his character was loving and he had compassion. That's why he desires compassion versus sacrifice. Doesn't mean that there wasn't a need for sacrifice, but he desired compassion over sacrifice because compassion comes first and sacrifice will follow. But if you only have sacrifice, you don't always have compassion. Turn back to John 14. John 14. John 14, verse 9. Jesus said to him, this is answering Philip again, so back to the question, show us the Father. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long, and you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves. So when we look at this here, and Jesus is saying, he says at the end there in verse 11, if you don't believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe because of the works themselves. The works that he had was to convey the character of God to the people, to the lost world, to proclaim the compassion and the love that he had or has for the people. And the reason today that we're going to point out that the apostles and the disciples couldn't understand this or didn't understand this was first, well, not first, but their mindset wasn't right. Their mindset was still kind of stuck on the physical. They still wanted to cling to the physical. Yeah, there's probably a few times in the ministry when Jesus was going there that they had some real spiritual victories, if you will. There's times when Jesus sent them out and he gave them authority over demons and to heal the sick and to do things, and they came back and had a great report. There's some spiritual victories that the apostles would have had during Christ's ministry. Now he starts talking about him leaving and going and dying and not being there. He's been saying it for a few chapters now. So in some ways, you kind of start to revert back to what you desire, or maybe what's really deep down, because it's really easy to have some spiritual victories sometimes if Jesus is standing physically right next to you. But it's a little harder when you know to grasp that thought, maybe when the thought of Jesus not being there is starting to sink in. And so when he is saying here, have you, and I'm not saying that they understood it or they were necessarily, but maybe they're reverting back to it, well, Jesus is not going to be here, or how will we see you? And that, because they say that Thomas asked that question before, we don't know where you are going. He says, show us the Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. And their mind was set on a physical, on the physical, clinging to Jesus, clinging to him being there, clinging to the thought of actually seeing the Father when you can't see the Father, because or else you will die. But they missed that he was actually talking about the character. Because that, you know, the time that the apostles would have had with Jesus and understanding his character could have showed them enough that he was talking about his character, and the fact that Moses couldn't even look at the Father without dying would probably say that they couldn't look at the Father without dying. So Jesus means something different than what they thought, but because their mindset was on the physical and on the flesh, it was hard for them to grasp around that. Now, I think there's other factors in the reason why they couldn't understand it, like the scripture wasn't completed, the Holy Spirit wasn't given yet, and we'll talk about those as we move on in the coming weeks. But the physical mindset that things were going to be physical and Jesus was going to be there forever and he was going to be physical Messiah kind of comes out here. Now, we can focus on, man, how stupid the apostles are and how, I mean, they should have been able to know this by being with Jesus for 3.5 years and being and doing things and being a part of his ministry and even casting out demons and healing the sick and such, preaching the gospel. They should have probably figured it out. We could focus on that. And I'm not saying that they didn't have that problem. But why they had that problem is going to keep us from making the same mistake that they did, understanding why they had that problem. Understanding that they had a physical mindset will help us not have that same physical mindset so we don't keep doing the same things. And in some cases, when the people say, and the apostles are just dumb, man, aren't we just the same? In some ways, they're actually speaking the truth because they haven't moved past a deeper meaning, a deeper understanding of the scripture, and they're stuck on the flesh. So yeah, in some ways, they're speaking the truth when they say that because they haven't. They've focused on what the apostles did and what they didn't understand, I guess you should say, rather than why they didn't understand it. Because after as we'll see, as you read on the scripture, after the Jesus resurrects and ascends, the apostles have a great understanding. They didn't stay in this spot. But the fleshly mindset was what had to go. And obviously the scripture and the Holy Spirit had to come into the inner man. But the physical mindset had to go. So instead of focusing on why and harping on it, if Jesus said, you know, in verse 7, if you would have known me, you would have known my Father also. Maybe instead it's like, if you know me, you know my Father also. Because it is possible to know Jesus and know the Father also. Instead of focusing on, and if you just would know, you would have known the Father also. And focusing on what that they didn't understand. But understanding why they didn't understand is going to help us move past the physical, move past the flesh, to understand a deeper understanding that we can know Jesus and we can know the Father, because just as he displayed that character physically, as we'll see in the next few weeks, that was limited. He only could do so much while he was physically here. It was to our advantage that he went away, because the Spirit was going to come. And so we can have, it's easier for us to move past the physical into the spiritual. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We thank you that we could look into your scripture. We thank you, Father, for the love and the compassion that you have for us, that we can love one another as well, that we can see you. We can see your glory, Father. We can see the character that you have. And we can understand that you're not like any other so-called God, Father, that you love us, you want to help us. And we thank you, Father, for that opportunity to be victorious through you, Father. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen.